Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It is indeed the final hour of the Nosebleed Nation, as it's a Nosebleed Seats takeover on the G-Bang Nation for the rest of the week. Zach Wolchuk alongside Eric Chiafalo, Brian Broaddus, and the great news that is Lucius Alexander. We got Carter in the building as well. Oh, and we got you riding shotgun along with us, the Tolos, the Turn It On and Leave It On listeners, the Bleeders, the Cedars, and the Nationals out there, 877-881-1053 on the Autoflex Leasing fan text. About to get into a college football conversation. We got the college football job tiers. Which schools do you think are still in tier one in terms of the ideal jobs in college football? Because for years and years we've assumed, oh yeah, Notre Dame, that's a premier job. But is that the case anymore? We got them ranked for you. We'll go through that in just a moment. But we do have a couple of nuggets we want to give you here on this return to sports hump day, question mark. I don't even know if it is anymore. This
yes,
is not.
It is. We keep the hump day positivity flowing. Sports are here, man. They're here.
We do have one not so positive story, and it happens to do with FC Dallas. As FC Dallas players, coaches, and staff departed for the MLS Is Back tournament in Orlando, Florida on June 27th, every member of the FC Dallas traveling party had tested negative for COVID-19 through an MLS-mandated testing service prior to the club's departure on Saturday morning. Well, upon arriving in Orlando for the MLS Is Back tournament, FC Dallas had two players test positive for COVID-19. The affected players were immediately isolated from their teammates, and the entire FC Dallas delegation, other MLS clubs and staff. As league testing continued, four more players tested positive for COVID-19, bringing the total number of FC Dallas players who tested positive while in Orlando to six. So not only does this impact the MLS Is Back tournament in Orlando, but where else is there going to be a big return to sports in Orlando?
Oh, the NBA bubble. But Fauci said it was the best plan out there.
It might still be the best plan.
Fauci said so.
But I think this is something to monitor. Yes, monitor. No, yep, monitor for sure.
Dang it.
While they got to Orlando, this is when the FC Dallas players tested positive. And again, Luchy Gonzalez will be joining the KNC Masterpiece, as he does every Thursday at 1:30, to discuss that tomorrow. But could this impact the NBA's return to play?
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't it? Why, I think that you're talking about, it's a hot spot. Orange County, which is the county that Orlando resides in out there in Florida, is one of the massive hot spots in our country. So, yeah, this is a scary notion. And the idea in theory of the bubble, I think, is a good one. Fauci tells you that's the best plan. Now, you're picking from a bunch of bad options. He's not saying it's a foolproof plan. And I think the problem with the bubble is, it's all fun and games until you do get a mini outbreak or whatever. Somebody ends up, whatever it was, their temperature was fine when we checked it. We thought they were cool. They got in. Turns out they had it. And then the domino effect of if one person's able to get in there, and then now how many people end up paying the price for that? And we've seen it for a lot of we've seen it in college. We've seen it with all these programs. They come back. They think it's just them. There's no kids on campus. We're kind of just sticking together as a team. Next thing you know, 30 Clemson football players have COVID.
Yep.
And so it's certainly a scary thing when you're having – it's already a hot spot. The NBA and the MLS is coming. It just feels like a little bit inevitable that there's going to be numerous hiccups along the way.
The NBA is betting $150 million that they can pull this off.
Yeah.
That's what they're betting. And yeah, the thing that I felt like could take Bubble Town down would be the how much coming and going are we having of staff?
That's the thing right there.
Okay, and I'm no offense to soccer, to how they were going to plan this out. But I feel like, though, that from the jump, the NBA has been the one professional organization or sport that's been way ahead of this. They look like they clearly had a plan of what they wanted to do. Baseball was trying to get its act together. You know, football throw a ton of money at this thing too. You know, we'll hear about if basketball's spending $150 million, there's no telling what football is going to do to spend to make sure their season. But I think the only thing that could really disrupt Bubble Town for the NBA are the men and women that are coming in and out of the facility for Disney and for their properties. How do they monitor that? Are they checking? Are they testing? Is it the same people every day? You know, are we having to rotate crews and stuff like that? You know, I feel like the NBA's got a really, really good plan for this. I do. I feel like that they've got an idea of how their hotels need to operate. Their players have got to step up, though. Maybe initially we might see some problems with the teams that are trying to play out the string. Say somebody goes on a bad run and they're 0-3, 0-4, and they're like, okay, we don't need to be here anymore. I don't want to play. We're going to leave Bubble Town. We're
not going to be here for the
playoffs.
We're
not going to be here. We're going to move on.
Right.
You know.
And then they get lazy.
Right. Yeah. And we're asking professional athletes. I think the teams, once the playoffs start, I do think you'll see teams hunker down and say, okay, we've got to fight this thing through. We've got to focus on what we're trying to do.
Okay.
You know, that's your leaders. I don't worry about the players. I worry about potential staff going in and out.
Yeah, because that's the thing.
Adam Silver said he is going to be coming in and out of the bubble. That's your commissioner.
It's not a bubble. It's a bubble-like situation.
Right. That's true. That's yeah. very true. That's very true. I even reached out to Mark Cuban the other day because I was curious. I was like, okay, is Mark Cuban going to be a part? And he was nice enough to text back and say, hey, schedule hasn't been made for me yet. You know, so I may, you know, when you're a playoff team, you get to have more people come in. Maybe that's something. Maybe that's the thing that makes everything go haywire. That when we've got things kind of under control. Oh, wait, now we're bringing in family, outsiders, extra staff members. You know, maybe that's the one thing that kind of shifts this thing the other way. But I do trust Dr. Fauci. I think there's a lot of people that are hammering him right now. You know, I think there's been some information that's probably been incorrect on both sides of this, you know, when you're trying to learn and understand. But he's done this for 4 decades of his life. I'm going to trust if he's telling me that they have a good plan, that he likes their plan and how they could potentially contain it or prevent it. I think I'm kind of putting my eggs in that basket more so than me just saying, oh, well, hey, let's block off the Grand Floridian over here and see if we can play basketball.
Right. Okay, I've got the tee times for tomorrow's PGA Tour Rocket Mortgage Classic. We'll get to that on the other side, plus a pretty fun Bryson DeChambeau story that you're going to want to hear. We'll do that in the C-Note coming up next. But the college football coaching job tiers, 877-881-1053 on the Autoflex Leasing fan text. Who do you think is still the tier one jobs in college football? And I think we have one prominent school that has fallen out of Tier 1. Now, this is ranked Tier 1. The job description is, one, it's a great location with excellent access to elite regional and national recruits, strong infrastructure, and commitment from university and athletic administration. few financial limitations on assistants and staff hires, and the history is that they're a top five program, recent or long term. Tier two would be a very good location and or access to top 300 recruits. No major limitations around facilities, coaching salaries or support staff, the ability to win a national title, and occasionally compete regularly for the conference title, and consistent top 20 finishes. So those are one and two of the job tier. So here's what they list as the tier one job still in college football. Let me know if you guys agree or you disagree. Alabama.
Okay.
I mean, is it though? When Nick Saban wasn't there, they were trash.
They've had a long history there.
I still think in Alabama, the money and resources that they're going to put in
there. You look in the history of Alabama, and you're right. There was a time period with Ray Perkins and Mike Shula, and they've had their share. Dennis Franchione was there for a bit. They've had their share of bad. But if you look at the overall history of the consistency they've had at the University of Alabama with Bear Bryant for all those years, and then you had that wandering through the desert that they couldn't quite figure out. Bill Curry was on staff there. You know, they had a lot. They had some tough times. Saban's come in there, and he's given that so much stability. I don't necessarily – I think the state of Alabama has some great football players, but I think he does a great job of going outside the state of Alabama. I would say the pressure on him is immense because of the fandom in Alabama. I think if you're telling me it's a tier one job, I would add the category of how much pressure do you have to endure on a week to week basis.
Yes, no, I'm with him, you there.
Ohio State. Those are high pressure jobs.
Right.
Yeah.
For me, I don't know. I obviously there's a upper tier in terms of programs in college football, but to me, the program doesn't so much make the coach as the coach makes the program. I think like USC, they're awesome. They're great. Pete Carroll leaves.
Great history.
They can't figure it out.
Yeah.
Like Clemson
they're still
wasn't
listed
much,
as a tier one team.
They are. So that's what I'm saying. It's
There's
all about
a few
the coach.
Of these.
I think the coach matters more than the program.
But I think that that's a recent development. I don't think that that's always been the case.
No, for
but
sure.
But I do
that's,
think
that's
now,
where I'm at now.
I don't think you're wrong.
If Nick Saban wants to go to pick one, Nick Saban goes to Missouri. Is Missouri all of a sudden a tier one program?
Well, he won a national championship at LSU.
Yep.
Nick Saban did. He did. When LSU was, we were wandering around in the woods. Again, we were lost as a football program. And Nick Saban from Michigan State, there are people saying, and what did he ever do at Michigan State? You know, what did he, and all of a sudden we hire him and he wins a national championship. I will say this. I think Dabo Swinney leaves Clemson if the Alabama job opens up. That tells you all you need to know about the Alabama job.
So I'm glad you brought up Clemson. The other tier one schools, you've got Alabama, you've got Ohio State, you've got LSU.
Wow.
Georgia and Florida.
We don't have that money.
Are listed as tier one. Oklahoma and Texas are listed as tier one. USC is listed as tier one. The one school that is now in that was not previously a tier one team is Clemson. And I think that's a recent 10-year development to propel Clemson into the tier one. Now, they do know the biggest underachievers out of the tier one schools are Texas and USC.
Yeah, I think USC has a tremendous history. Texas's resources are immense.
Yeah.
You know, what they provide their coaches, their players is incredible. And it's numbing, in my mind numbing, that they haven't had the success that like some of these others, that the Alabamas, the Ohio States, you know, LSU went down there and it was a tooth and nail game for them, you know, to have to win there. But I have a lot of questions about Texas. I have a lot more questions about USC. And me personally, I think if I was to replace a team, I would replace USC and I would replace it with Florida.
Florida is one of the tier one schools.
Oh, Florida is it?
There were several USC schools or SEC schools, excuse me. Florida, Georgia, LSU, and
okay,
Bama.
Okay, I thought you stopped. Okay, I thought, did you say that?
I did. Florida,
okay,
I snuck them in there.
Okay, I'm
but
sorry.
But I read them off quickly.
Yeah, I was focusing on USC, and I'm thinking Florida is a tier one school. Georgia is a tier one school. So, yeah, okay, I'm sorry.
So here's the tier two, and let me know if you'd replace maybe one of these with USC. Auburn leads off tier two.
Okay.
Florida State.
No.
Michigan.
No.
Notre Dame.
I think Notre Dame's getting it back.
You think they're getting it back?
I think Notre Dame's getting it back.
Back to tier one, you think?
I think Notre Dame's getting it back to tier one. The question, there's so many questions about Michigan, and Harbaugh's in a situation now where he can't beat Ohio State, you know? And the fandom there is like, you know, they've run guys out for, you know, you do not beat Ohio State, they get rid of you. They find ways to move on from you. You know, you could be 10-1 every year, but if you're playing Florida and other teams in the Citrus Bowl every year, that's not the goal at Michigan. So I don't know. I know they're running on a deficit right now, but to me, Michigan, Florida State hasn't been. There's so much instability there right now. And Auburn, I don't. There's too much meddling going on with the athletic department there. I think Notre Dame is the one team that I would say is on. And I am not a Brian Kelly fan at all. I am not. But I think
he seems like a bleep hole, man.
Notre Dame can recruit anywhere in the country. So
do
I believe
they still carry that name value with them.
I do. I do. Yeah. And I think Michigan could probably do the same. But they continually they have troubles. You know, the Penn States, the Wisconsins, you know, they have trouble. They play Notre Dame, you know, have trouble. You know, there's I just can't go.
Aren't you handcuffed as a coach at Notre Dame because of the academic standards that you have to deal with and getting – like, it's hard to get the best
Stanford's
athletes.
A similar deal. And I mean, Stanford's not listed in either of these tiers.
I also think Notre Dame was a big one back in the day because they were always on TV. Now, any school, every school's on TV.
No offense to any Notre Dame alum out there that's listening to us driving around or across the country or around the world. But I will say this. I think there's times where the Notre Dame administration will look the other way. I think they will. I think they'll say, you know what, we need to get this kid. Notre Dame, and I'm really good friends with the recruiting coordinator at Notre Dame, and the fact that they could go anywhere in the country and get a kid to visit, there's a lot of programs that can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
They will not get the top kids. Now, will Notre Dame land all of them? No, they won't. But I think Notre Dame, to me, is one of the most intriguing jobs in college football. Just because of the mystique, the history, the location, and the fact that you can recruit anywhere in the country.
Just to wrap this up, the other teams in Tier 2, Oregon, Penn State, Texas A&M,
and
Washington.
A&M is a sleeping giant. They really are.
And they do say that the biggest underachiever is A&M. They say the closest team to moving up is actually Florida State, not Notre Dame.
Wow. I mean, they've had to make the coaching change there. They've gone through it a couple of different times now at Florida State. They had stability with the Bowden, with Bobby Bowden forever.
And then Jimbo.
Absolutely.
469, no Nebraska. Nebraska's fallen all the way to Tier 3, but that certainly used to be a blue blood program. There's no question about that.
No
all right.
Question.
Coming up next, we got the C-Note, the Cowboys news of the day, and we'll also give you a little Bryson DeChambeau story. That's next on The Fan.
It's time for the Cowboys C-Note. Cowboys news of the day here in the G-Bag Nation. Nosebleed Seats Takeover. Myself, Eric Chiafalo, Zach Wolchuk, Brian Broaddus, Lucius Alexander, and you, the Tolo. Turn it on, leave it on. Listener, 877-881-1053 to join the conversation. I do want to give a big O 105.3 The Fan shout-out to the 817, our guy Timothy, who just recovered from the coronavirus.
There you go.
He's doing well, and he loves listening to 105.3 The Fan.
Shout-out to you, Timothy. Good news, buddy. Good news to hear.
That is, yes, the coronavirus.
You tell him, Cardi.
We greatly, greatly appreciate you, Timothy. The segment, of course, brought to you by Frankel and Frankel. Have you been injured in an accident with a work truck or an 18-wheeler? If so, call 214-333-3333 or go to frankelfirm.com, principal office, Dallas, Texas. Now, before we get into some Cowboys conversation, Cowboys news of the day, and Brian Baldinger of radio.com, NFL Insider, great work with Sean and RJ earlier this morning, and he had some interesting things to say about our Cowboys. We'll get into that in just a second. I do want to give you guys, Walchuk and Broaddus, a little NFL nugget. Now, we got the news today from Pelissero, NFL Network, that the NFL was going to reduce the preseason down from 4 games to 2 games, and it was going to be the week 2 and week 3 of the preseason. Every NFL team will have a home and road game in the preseason. Well, Mike Garofalo, also of NFL Network, just tweeted out, while the expectation for weeks has been the NFL goes to 2 preseason games, the NFL Players Association has not signed off on that. And some in the union leadership continue to question whether it's smart to play any preseason games. And the Board of Reps will have a phone call Thursday to hash things out a little bit. So, Broadus, you keep saying, hey, I don't think there's ultimately probably not going to be any preseason. And it seems like the union is agreeing with you.
Yeah, I just, the feeling is, why do you want to waste resources, manpower on preseason games? Trust me, I understand as a former scout, front office guy, I understand evaluation. But preseason games, to me, let me practice, let me work with my own team, let me try and pick my team out and get my roster the best I can. I need my health. You know, I don't need to be flying around the country, you know, for games. I don't need to be playing against each other for something that I think is meaningless right now. I don't need to test that fate. You know, if I'm going to test fate, let me test fate in week one against the Los Angeles Rams out there, you know, in California. That's when things mm-hmm. start for real for me. I don't need two preseason games to help me in any way. I'll be ready. I'll have my team ready. I'll have my roster ready. Just let me go to work that first week. I don't need to put my teams in harm's way for anything other than that opening week and the season.
Now, before we get to the Cowboys, Walchuk, you got a golf update for us here?
Okay, yes. So we have the Rocket Mortgage Classic, which will be teeing off tomorrow. It'll be round one at the Detroit Golf Club. And some of the big tee times and featured groups are announced. And one of the featured groups that will be teeing off at 12 o'clock Central Time is Bryson DeChambeau, Patrick Reed, and Hideki Matsuyama. You also have Bubba Watson, Jason Day, and Brendan Todd teeing off at 11:50.
I thought you were saying Hideki Matsui.
No, it's Hideki Matsuyama. So there's multiple Hidekis, Eric, and that's possible.
That is.
Also, Ricky Fowler, Nate Lashley, and Webb Simpson will be teeing off early, bright and early. I think it'll be at 6:45 a.m.
They had a rough week last week at PGA.
Yeah, they did. And I wonder if this week might have similar results, but Bryson DeChambeau, who finished in the top five last week, featured at that 12 o'clock tee time there, local guy.
He is a favorite. I believe it's 6-1 to win this
thing. We actually got some good stuff on DeChambeau, who is a huge monster at 6'1", 240.
That's why Eric likes him.
Packed on a lot of weight. How can you not respect this, man? This is a golfer who could be playing linebacker right now.
He very well could be. He's got the neck of a linebacker.
He does. He's got the Van Der Esch neck.
He does have Van Der Esch neck.
And so one of the interesting things about him is he's intentionally, it's not like he's just started to gain weight out of nowhere. This dude clearly works out, and he is intentionally gaining weight. And so, I mean, this dude is like landing on the green with his drive. Like, the dude's a monster. Well, we finally got to the bottom of what his eating regimen is like. And I think we actually have the audio of him telling you what he consumes on a daily basis.
In the mornings, I usually have four eggs, five pieces of bacon, some toast, and two protein shakes, two Orgain protein shakes. And then throughout the course of the day, I'll have, you know, a Go Macro bar here and there. I'll have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I'll have another protein drink. I'll have at least two protein drinks on the golf course. So every, you know, six holes, you know, 6-12, and then after the round, I'll have one. After that, I'm snacking when I'm practicing. After, go back to the hotel, eat a dinner, steak, potatoes, and I'll have two protein shakes with it there as well. So, you know, I'm consuming around, I'd say 6 to 7 of those Orgain protein shakes a day now, where I used to be 2 or 3. So as I've upped the weight, upped everything, I just had to consume a lot more. Luckily, I like the taste of those shakes, so I can take those pretty easily. If you were to add all that up, it'd be around 3,000 to 3,500, I think, something like that.
Dude, he is just consuming a ridiculous amount of food each and every day.
I hope he gets some fiber in his diet, man.
I hope he does, too.
That weight he's gaining might not be real weight.
Bro, we're talking about that. We talk about the Ian Poulter fart. Can you imagine if the mics pick up a DeChambeau fart out there on the tour?
Yeah, he's going to lose 50 pounds.
I
like when he started laughing at himself.
Yeah, I know. He's like, by noon I've had my fourth shake of the day. I mean, God, the amount of protein that dude ingests must be insane.
Oh, man.
So
can you get, like, protein poison or something for having too many protein shakes? Something to your kidneys?
There is the kidney issues that come into play.
That's what I was told when I was drinking protein shakes. You're going to hurt your kidney, boy.
I've heard the same thing.
All right.
I think DeChambeau better watch out because it sounds like the dude is ingesting like 300 grams of protein every day.
Well, we'll be keeping an eye on how he does tomorrow at the Rocket Mortgage Financial. Yeah, absolutely. Man, that's a crazy diet. All right, Brian Baldinger on this morning with Sean and RJ on your home of Dallas Cowboys football, friend of the show here. And, you know, they talked to him about a wide variety of topics, one of which was Jamal Adams. And honestly, I don't even care what he had to say about Jamal Adams and should the Cowboys go after him. I want to hear Baldy's breakdown. Baldy 2 here, Lucius. How is Jamal Adams in coverage?
Look, he makes any defense better. I mean, he is an impactful player.
My bad.
No, I took on the Gators.
I'm just letting you know. I'm just letting everybody know.
Hey, it's fine. I like full disclosure.
Yeah, appreciate that.
I think he's good enough. I mean, he's not – you know, you don't want him going up against elite slot receivers. You know, I don't know that you want him on Travis Kelce, you know, for a full game or in big spots. But, you know, whatever he makes – whatever he's deficient in coverage, he makes up for the way that he hits. And the play's never over until, you know, the whistle blows. So – a lot of guys that can get an advantage on Jamal in coverage, but you still got to deal with him all the way to the ground because he's going to get the ball out somehow. So I think he's got some deficiencies there, but at the same time, you know, I think that he's more than capable of being in coverage and doing the things that you've got to do when teams try to isolate you.
I mean, I think Baldy there had a little bit of a more open-minded take in terms of, you know, he's not bad in coverage. He's not an elite cover guy necessarily. And I get it. I mean, you probably don't want any of your safeties against an elite slot player. But I do think the box safety label for Jamal Adams is unfair.
And disrespectful.
I think he is a solid cover safety. And Lombardi was on with you guys yesterday, and he made the comparison to even a Cam Chancellor.
Yeah.
But Cam Chancellor wasn't bad in coverage either.
No.
Did they excel close to the line of scrimmage like Troy Polamalu with the Steelers did? Certainly.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that they can't take a tight end in coverage and they're a liability in coverage.
Yeah, there were times, and it's funny, Sean and I had this discussion after his show this morning, and I always remember with Jamal Adams the LSU plays he made in coverage. I remember certain plays he's made with the Jets. But, you know, I will say this about Mike Lombardi. You know, he worked with Bill Belichick, that group in New England, for a long time. He knows that division. He studies that division. When you watch the plays that Jamal Adams makes, he's absolutely right. What do we talk about? We talk about sacks. We talk about forced fumbles. We talk about big hits. You know, there's a lot of things that we talk about that are near the line of scrimmage.
Tackles for loss.
The 2-point play in the Cowboy game last year. What did it do? Greg Williams sent him on a blitz, and he was able to get home and disrupt that. So I could see where I'm one of these people that thought he was okay in coverage. I was thinking more than a box safety, but I understand where Lombardi's coming from. I really do. If you start to say, okay, well, do you really want him covering this guy? Do you really? And even Baldinger started saying it. He's like, hey, you don't want him on Travis Kelce. You know, okay, well, if you're a safety and you're not able to cover tight ends, what are you?
But he's done well against the Rob Gronkowskis and some of the better tight ends. When you go back and watch, and I guess this is 2 years ago versus Gronk, but John Oetting, who we're a big fan of and is a friend of the show, did a whole breakdown and shows us clips. And I guess maybe if I go back and I got the All-22, I could go back and rewatch it. But to me, I just don't think that he's a bad safety in terms of coverage, and I think that he is capable of taking on the top tight ends.
You know what? I wanted to disagree with Mike, and you know, there's some things in my mind I'm thinking, well, I saw it as a different type of player. I do think Mike's right about him being somewhat scheme-specific. You know, if you do want to put him in a single high or what they talk about with those teams, those Pete Carroll teams that play the single high cover three, you know, safety that way. I think there are some liabilities there. I really, really do. I mean, the closer you get him to the line of scrimmage, the more disruptive he's going to be. Yeah, that's a fact. Now, what does that cost? Is that a $15 million a year player? You know, that's the question. And if we're going to see different looks from what we think from Mike Nolan, you know, if we're going to see multiple types of schemes and stuff, yeah, maybe there'll be an opportunity. But if he proves that he can't cover, then what do you really have? You have a really extra linebacker,
right?
Is what you got, and is that what you want? You know, if that's your determination, do you want a safety or do you want a real linebacker? And the way that teams are spreading people out now, Jeff and Gavin, we discuss this every day. 11 personnel throwing the ball. You know, are you a liability in coverage? You know, those are all things that you know, how can we put pressure on defenses to have to cover all our guys? And Mike even said it, you know, he watches enough Jet tape to tell you that Greg Williams is smart enough not to get him matched up in some bad coverage situations. Yeah. So I respect what Mike's saying there. Mm-hmm. You know, if it comes down to it, we absolutely need to sit down and study this guy.
Yeah.
Man, we have the opportunity. You can look at the All-22 if you want. You don't have to be an NFL scout to watch. Oh, it looks like he got beaten coverage there. Oh, it looks like he made a good play there. Oh, it looks like he made a tackle near the line of scrimmage there. There's things you can watch. Your eyes won't lie to you in that stuff.
Yeah, and I don't think I really care about all the scheme fit stuff. I'm like, don't we always talk about, like, when we're drafting, we just want really good football players.
Oh, there's
and we'll
no
figure
question.
Out how to use them. And we
well,
know
going into this draft,
that's
yes.
the problem.
Previously not so much. Players. Previously it was very schematic.
That's the problem, though. For every Jamal Adams, there's a Tavon Austin who was picked in the top 10 and nobody ever figured out how to use him.
Yeah.
You know? That's the problem you run into. You know, Chi-Chi, when these coaches will always tell you, hey, well, just draft him for me, man. I'll make it work. And then they don't. They don't figure it out. They don't play to a player's strength. Belichick will play to a player's strength. That's why the Cam Newton, you know, signing is great. Yeah, I'm sure they'll use Newton, Stidham, but he plays to player's strengths. He'll do what the player can do. He's not asking the player to do some, you know, Greg Williams, like Lombardi was saying, Greg Williams does not put Jamal Adams in a ton of coverage situations because he doesn't want to expose him, you know. But there's coaches that will say, oh, it's my scheme and I'm going to do it this way because I've always done it this way. And then those players suffer, you know. That's the issue I have.
I do like the idea, though, of passing downs, having Jamal Adams as your linebacker. And with the roster right now that already has two safeties that are starting caliber and Ha Ha Clinton Dix and Xavier Woods, and now and we're worried about the health of the linebackers, we're worried about Jalen Smith and coverage, all these different things.
No question.
Take one of those guys off the field, Jamal Adams is now your linebacker.
No question.
And at that point, he's potentially the best coverage linebacker in the NFL. Yeah. If you're viewing him as a linebacker in that moment. And I just think you can have a lot of fun. When you talk about versatility, being multiple, I think Jamal Adams allows you to do that.
Don't disagree with you at all.
There's a lot to like.
But make sure that when we talk about bringing the player on, that we have a plan for him.
Right.
Because Jerry Jones told Scott Linehan, hey, Tavon Austin, it's up to you to figure it out. And Linehan's like, I got this one covered, boss. No, you didn't.
No, you didn't. But then again, maybe if you can't find a way to make it work with a player the caliber of a Jamal Adams, maybe we need to look for new coaches.
Oh, there's no question.
I would like to think that they would have a plan for him. And I just think the box safety narrative, that's when you get the text like the 469 and the 817. Another Roy Williams, shades of Roy Williams pass. And that couldn't be farther from the truth.
Roy Williams became afraid to cover. I would stand behind him in drills, and he wouldn't take a rep in one-on-one coverage because he got scared. He honestly, guys, he did not want to even work on it because it terrified him to have to play in coverage. I don't think Jamal Adams is scared to cover it, but I think Roy Williams was.
Yeah, Jamal Adams, far better player. Far better player, 100%.
I tell you, Roy Williams is pretty good.
He was. I mean, he certainly was.
Pretty good.
We got more ball, the audio we can hit tomorrow. But coming up next, let's mix with the crew filling in for us tonight on the Nosebleed Seats. It's the new Hall of Famer, Chris Arnold and Kevin Gray. We'll talk with them next on The Fan. Great show today, Lucius. You just absolutely crushed it,
great,
man.
Great what?
Fantastic show.
He said great shade. Said, and I've been working on it too, by the way. I have been out in the sun, so you do see this melanin popping, and it did catch your eyes. I see that, fam.
Well, we got to see a shirtless, which was definitely a win.
Yeah,
for
I
got to
work on my tan for tomorrow.
Man, me too.
Yeah, Broadus was concerned. He's like, man, I'm so pasty on the fan cam. I said, dude, when you go for your 4-hour run every day, just take that shirt off. All the cougars in the neighborhood are going to lose their
absolutely.
Mind.
Absolutely.
I don't want people getting sick.
Hey, we got a full house now. Usually at this time, it is the G-Bag Nation mixing with us, Eric. The Nosebleed Seats, but today it's the Nosebleed Seats Nation as we take over for the G-Bag Nation.
Y'all did a fine job taking over.
Thank you. And now we have the greatness of Kevin Gray and the new Radio Hall of Famer, the one and only Chris Arnold. CA, what a special day it is for you, my man. What a special day it is for you.
Man, and that's a good song to play for that.
I got you, dog.
I'm just floored. I'm honored and I'm floored.
You done kept it real from the jump, CA.
So we were talking to you a little bit about this before we got on the air, but you had no idea this morning that you were getting in?
No. They had a list of nominees about a month ago, and there are 50 nominees, and I was like, oh, okay, well, that's an honor. But I'm like, there's just no way. Texas is a very large state with a whole lot of radio stations, with a whole lot of formats. You got all kinds of, you know, different formats. You got country music, pop music, you've got talk shows, you've got news, you've got sports, you've got, you just named the categories, rap, hip-hop, coronavirus. You got all these categories, you got all these different kind of people who could be in it. How about executives or general managers who've been around for 50 years and they're the best in Amarillo or Lubbock or Tyler or El Paso, let alone Houston, San Antonio, Austin, or Dallas-Fort Worth. I was like, there's just no way in hell. And lo and behold, I got a text that said, make sure you watch Facebook Live at noon because they were going to announce this thing, Facebook Live. And I'm still thinking, nah, I don't know. I'm not going to believe it till I see it. And then a guy
you with the Drew
it.
Pearson.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Drew's my boy.
Oh, God, that would have been hard.
Yeah, I wasn't going to believe it until I heard it.
Yeah.
Chris, you know, you're legendary. I go all the way back with you in the 1980s. I do. You and I are old.
Yeah, we're old.
And Gills. You were such a great part of radio history here in this city in the 80s and stuff when you got your start and stuff. How much have things really, really changed over the years? Has it gotten better or has it gotten harder to do good radio? How are things in over all these
it's
years
changed? It's definitely changed because it's hard. First of all, it's easier, but it's harder. It's easier because back in those days, you had to actually edit your own tape. You had to go get all the interviews. You didn't have an ESPN. You didn't have... All you had was Associated Press teletype.
You had your relationships, right?
You had to go by your relationships, right. And there weren't breaking stories in the middle of your shows, right? They happened overnight, or you woke up the next day. Everybody had to look at a newspaper. I haven't seen a newspaper in 2020. But to show you how you have to be well-informed, nowadays you have to just know what's going on social media. You got to know what's going on, the different stories, the different teams. Everybody's more into analytics than just the stories. So it's changed on that part, but it was harder to get the stories and to break the stories and to get the interviews. I mean, in the 80s, plus I was working at a black radio station, a music station. And back in those days, they didn't believe that station, a music station, actually did sports. K104, they're just music. Like, no, we got a full-time news and sports department. And so it was hard getting credentials for things. I mean, it just was. That was the times. So I literally, there were some events I covered without a credential. So imagine me going to the bus or the hotel lobby and interviewing players, walking around in the lobby. I was doing a lot of stuff. Just, I mean, they've sometimes, and I'm not crying the blues. I'm just saying that it's different. Back in the early 80s, I'd say I worked at K104, it's the number one station in Dallas. Well, they would treat me like I was doing a podcast in my mom's basement. It's like, yeah. Oh, you are? Well, we've never heard of you. Dallas is a major market.
Oh, and now
music
look,
station.
You really did
I'm
start
sorry.
From the bottom because now you are the Hall of Famer.
It ain't sunk in, but my phone is blown up. So I'm telling y'all right now, the show's going to suck.
No, it's not. No.
I haven't had a chance
that
to
That is
really...
not what a Hall of Famer says during crosstalk before his show, sir.
Yeah. Right.
What are you doing?
You always taught me, CA, you never mail in a show.
And never. Trust me, we've lowered
I didn't
the
say
bar,
that.
So, he didn't say he was mailing in. He just said it's not going
to
be very good.
I have never mailed in a show
in my life.
KG, you
better be ready to pick up
the slack. My shoulders are broad, so I'm going to do a lot of carrying tonight. I'm going to lift the Hall of Famer up tonight. Yes. I got him. I got him.
Basically, what I'm saying is I'm going to be tongue-tied a lot. My mouth is not going to be working with my brain because I've been like adrenaline rushed all day. And I'm too old to be. You talk about.
Uh-oh. Is the shirt coming off right now?
You've asked me to do that before.
Oh, yeah. You've done it. You've done it with us.
Oh,
840-ish. Y'all just.
Showing us all up
oh, my
here.
Gosh.
CA.com/fan.
Give us the flex. Give us the flex, CA.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, buddy.
Man. Is that a V cut I'm looking at?
Yeah.
Yeah, it
I worked
is.
Hard,
man.
For that.
No wonder Janet dang. Was interested, huh?
Look at those
bro. I need you to show up tomorrow at 2:40. Yeah,
yeah. Just go ahead. You can do my stunt double, CA.
Yeah,
go ahead
I'll dub in my voice.
Yeah,
there,
absolutely.
CA. Yeah.
My mom and daddy have good genes, so I keep a job.
Oh man. Go. All right, KGCA in for us then on the nosebleed seats. What you fine fellas have coming up on the program?
Special fish report at 7:20. Okay. So keeping it within the the theme, obviously. Round the NFL around 8:20, and CA Stores Confidential at 9:40, and top 10 at 10 in nosebleed seats. Lore.
Okay.
Nice. So we got you covered for your top 10
at 10
We
know it
tonight.
Won't be anything Drake-related or chocolate chip-related, because Kevin Gray does not like either of those things.
What?
Lucius Alexander, where you at?
He's right there.
Oh, hey, Drake.
Herb, I'm not here.
Herb or not a Herb?
I just left.
Herb or not a Herb? Drake.
By the way, I just found out what
Very
Herb
Very talented Herb.
Yes. Okay.
Very talented okay. Herb.
Thank you.
Yes. Six guys.
Thank
but
you.
Will Good you music? Acknowledge that he's talented, KG?
I said he was talented. I said Drake is a complete Herb, though.
Okay.
Just because he's not Kendrick Lamar does not mean he's not talented.
No. No grown man should fulfill his fantasy by getting into the Kentucky layup line and say, I'm going to go shoot these layups with these 18-year-old kids. Sit down, Drake.
Not just Kentucky. He Sit picks down. A team every year.
Right. That's no the loyalty. Other part. He's a fence rider, man.
No, he's a front runner.
Front runner, fence rider.
The only
I'm
team.
In LeBron's locker room one night. I'm selling with the Toronto Raptors in their championship the other night. Sit down, Drake. Sit down, man.
Hey, so he got a catalog.
I noticed a lot of nosebleed seat staples there, but are we not going around the rim nasty
No,
style
you already
at
did that.
Yeah, we did. We
well,
did
that
do
doesn't
it.
Mean you can't do it.
Are you going to leave Julius here?
You can go around the rim twice in
only
one day.
Only if Julius and okay. Zero can stick around.
No, well, he's kind of Zero's responsibility. I pawned him off, but he loves UCA.
He does.
He's always been on his best behavior when CA is in town. Now, when Kevin is in the safe space on Monday.
He showed out for me on Monday, yeah.
Oh, he was acting a fool for Kevin.
Yeah.
Lucius was teaching him all sorts of crazy tricks back there today, though. So you might have your hands full.
He likes to microdose that LSD when I'm around.
He does.
Kind of soothes him a little bit.
Mm-hmm. He gets lucid dreams.
All right, fellas, real quick. One's got to go. Ranch, barbecue, ketchup, honey mustard. One's got to go. What is it? Ranch, barbecue, nice. Ketchup, or honey mustard?
Honey mustard, but that hurts, man. That stings.
Barbecue has to go because it's hit or miss.
Okay.
Honey mustard, goodbye.
Really?
I'm going to say ketchup because it's too close to barbecue sauce. If I got one or the other, I'm fine.
I think I'm actually going to do barbecue here.
You're giving up barbecue sauce?
Nah, I'm
dude?
Probably going to have to go honey You're mustard.
The wrong damn state. Yeah.
I love both of those state. Things. It is... I've it's seen, just tough.
I've You've seen had a great show like, up until this point.
Okay. Well, hey, don't anti-barbecue. We found Bratis's ticking
this
point. I love all four of those, but I guess I'd have to lean honey mustard. I do put barbecue on more things, but man, that is tough.
Cowboys you know, game day, I've seen Walchuk smothered in barbecue.
Barbecue
sauce
and honey mustard.
Is this Sweet Baby Ray's?
The bone sucking sauce from Cracker Barrel. You can buy that at the shop there. Also
Wait,
fantastic.
Pause.
Yeah. Heard a lot of good
Thank
things.
You.
A lot of good things.
Hard pause.
Now, you know Kevin's a Gates
hard.
Barbecue.
That's
you
right.
love Cracker Barrel. You think their pancakes are the best.
Yeah, but we didn't say anything about barbecue sauce.
And sucking bones.
I heard that too.
Come
Lucius.
On. Come on.
Coming up.
All right, we'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 7. Until then, we got Kevin Gray and
Appreciate
CA.
Y'all.
They'll be next on The Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.